All right, let's try this again. Sorry about that. I think we got our connection fixed. Dr. Crane, you can confirm that we sound better, but sorry about that. Live at the Boulevard Bar and Grill here in Murfreesboro, and continuing our conversation with MTSU women's basketball coach Rick Ensel, who is going for win number 500 tomorrow at the Murphy Center. $5 tickets. Go to GoBlueRaiders.com. No additional fees. You can get those $5 tickets and go see them take on Delaware as coach goes for win number 500.
So you were talking about Vanderbilt.
Well, and then I've got a letter from Paul Houlihan still at home, and also one from Tom Butters, because I had talked to Duke about their program, and Paul said you had the job, but Jim had more professional experience because he was the president of the WBCA. Well, I'd never heard of the WBCA, Women's Basketball Coaches Association, out of Atlanta, Georgia. So as soon as I found out I didn't get the job, I called down to Atlanta, found out what was going on there, and Betty James was over the WBCA, and we became the closest of friends. She was the CEO and president of the WBCA. And then eventually I worked my way onto the board of directors where I helped run that organization. So I didn't want to get caught again in that situation where if I had a chance to get a job, I wouldn't get erased or taken off of because I didn't have that.
Oh.
And so, but at that point I'd forgot all about it. I was happy. And then my middle son, Kyle, one morning at breakfast when the job came open, said, "Have you applied?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Well, then you've been a fake our whole lives, because you told us that we could do anything we wanted to with our life. Did not let anybody set the parameters on you. You set your own parameters, yet you want to be a college coach. You got a chance to apply at Middle Tennessee, and you don't do it because you're afraid. So really, you've been a fake." Right after that, Deb and me looked at each other, and we both got online, and we applied here. And then Mark Pirtle, which is now not with us, was a good friend. Denny Hastings, Tom Johns, a lot of people got in behind what was going on, talked to Dr. McPhee. There was a luncheon set up. Dr. McPhee agreed to give me a interview. He did not have an AD then. He hired Chris Massaro, and he told Chris, "Hey, you got to give this guy an interview," which was Rick Ensel. And Chris, I think he tells a story that he told his wife that he was having to talk to a high school coach, and she said, "Well, do we need to unpack?" Thank you, Cindy.
Yeah.
Do we need to unpack, or do we need to stay in South Carolina? But Chris and myself became close friends. Shortly after that, he got in touch with me, and we talked, came on campus. Interview with him and Dr. McPhee, Diane Turnham, which is here right now, sitting in the back, and it's worked out.
Yeah, it's worked out well. When did you know you were fit for college basketball? Beating Houston?
Not really. I think Deb kind of put an exclamation point, Deb being my wife, because a time or two I questioned this with her, and her response was, "Basketball is basketball. You've coached junior pro. You've coached elementary school. You've coached high school now, and you've been a boys basketball coach. What's different?" And I got to thinking about that. Well, hell, really nothing.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And I think Diane was the one when they interviewed me and said, "Hey, are you going to be – do you think that you'll be able to bring what you do at Shelbyville to Middle Tennessee?" And I think my response to her was, "If I can't come to Middle Tennessee and coach like I do at Shelbyville, then y'all probably need to find somebody else."
Yeah.
Because I don't know any other way to do it. And, the rest is history. So I brought the same philosophies that I had there to Middle. Our fan base liked it. Our administration liked it. We've had some success. So I'm not going to change.
And your players like it. I feel
sometimes.
Well, you've been described as no filter. You're intense. I mean, you expect the most out of your players.
I do.
But I feel like
I expect success.
Yeah.
And that's what I teach them from day one. I start talking to them about succeeding in life.
Yeah.
And if you're going to succeed in life, you're going to have some mountains you're going to have to climb. You're going to have a lot of things that goes bad. It doesn't go right. Same thing on the basketball court. Now we've got to overcome all that. Off the court, on the court. That's what college is all about.
Well, I can remember when I was in high school, we had a player on our team that was really good. He probably was our best player. And he ended up quitting because it was too, like, coach was very intense, expected, like you just said. And I remember looking at our coach going, like, you're just going to let him walk off. And he goes, he doesn't have it. He don't want to work. And I want people that are going to work, and I feel like that's what you expect, too.
Chase, I got a great story if you want
sure,
to hear it.
Absolutely.
You and Joe about yes, J. Cole was my high school coach. Love him. He's the reason I got into coaching.
Okay.
And I was we were running they called them killer drills then. You don't call them that now. Call them line drills. But we were running line drills or killer drills, and I was always first. Always. I was always down and back, always first. And I just was that way. And so after practice one day, he said, everybody's can go on except you, Ricky. And I said, what's going on? Something going on? He said, yeah, you got to go through the line drills again or the killer drills again. I said, why? I was first. He said, you were first, but you didn't give me all you had. You were first going at your speed. I want you to be first going at my speed. One of the biggest lessons I'd ever taught. I'm telling you, there were cuss words probably that came out of my mouth that I didn't know I had in me. But the whole time I was running.
Yeah.
But, and I went back, I talked to my dad. I maybe even talked about, hey, I'm not going to play for this guy. And my dad said, you know, he's right. And my dad was he had a sixth grade education. He worked for Middle Tennessee Electric 41 years. You didn't give him all you had. When I go in every day, I give them all I got. You need to give him all you got. So I'm supporting your coach.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay. So I didn't – that I never thought no more about quitting.
Yeah, so that doesn't surprise you when your son stands up and tells you to go for it, right? I mean, so he got that honestly.
Well, I've got three sons, and they're all about the same way. Of course, I'm very fortunate I get to coach them bad every day. And then Tom runs the biggest travel team, biggest tournament in the country, women's basketball.
Right.
I mean, he's over all that. And then Kyle, which if you ask Kyle, he's the best coach in the family. Kyle is, right? He's a successful businessman. But he doesn't miss a game, and he never misses a chance to tell me what I've done wrong and what I need to be doing. And you know what? More times than not, he's right.
Oh, I'm sure. Why women's basketball when you started out?
Well, I didn't start out. I hated women's basketball. But I was broke, and I didn't have a job. And I was at my oldest son was in Vanderbilt Hospital. We didn't know if he was going to live. And I saw an ad in the Nashville Banner where they needed a coach at Shelbyville.
Wow.
And so I applied.
High school?
High school. And I didn't get an interview. And so they hired Jim Drew, which played for Jimmy Earl, which I had in class on campus. So I'm sitting back thinking about it. So I go find Coach Earl the next day or two and said, does this guy, do you think this Jim Drew? Didn't know Jim Drew. Well, does he need an assistant? And he said, you know, he does need an assistant, but they got to hire. So this is where the good Lord enters in. They've got to hire a social studies coach, somebody that knows something about history and this and that. I said, I've got my minor is in American history. And said, well, let me take you across campus. We went across campus at the Grill. I met Jim Drew, sat down. He got me an interview with Mike Bone at Shelbyville. They hired me to be the assistant boys coach. But they said, well, there's a glitch to this. You got to coach women's basketball. And I'm thinking, man alive, I don't even like girls' basketball. Well, but my son was in the hospital. I hadn't got a job. My wife hadn't got a job. You do a lot of desperate things when you're broke. So coaching women's basketball wasn't that big of a deal. But after I got to Shelbyville, they'd won a state championship in 64, a state championship in 74. I'm there in 77. I saw the passion that community had for the women's game. And I said right then, this is what I want. And so I went to Mike Bone and said, hey, do you care if I go full-time with the women? He said, absolutely not. This is after 1 year. Absolutely not. You can. They hired another assistant coach to help Coach Drew. And then I went full-time with the women. And that's the rest of the story.
Holy cow. Now,
that's amazing.
How did Dateline NBC get involved with you? Because this was massive.
Oh, yeah. Well, Wendell Agnew, which I call my main man at Shelbyville, he was kind of my media relations guy, came to me one day and said, hey, I just got a call from Dateline. And they want to come and do a story on us. And it was because of the success we had all across the country. We'd gone, you name it, New York, Los Angeles, Santa Barbara, Phoenix, Dallas, Miami, Altoona, and they want to do a story on you, on the, not me, but on the Eaglettes and me. I said, sure, Wendell.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. give me a break, you know. I'm sure Dateline wants to do a story on us. And I laughed it off. He said, no, coach, I'm telling you. I said, Wendell, I got practice. Go. Well, he came back after practice, and he said, hey, I'm telling you, they want. I said, well, get somebody on the phone. And at that point, I can't remember who they got on the phone, but Hoda Kotb is the one that did the Dateline special.
Wow.
This is what a lot of people don't know. Chris Fowler did his first interview with me on Scholastic Sports America.
That's right.
In Altoona, Pennsylvania, in 1985 or 86. His first interview. This is before the college football came on board for him. God, there's one more I want to tell you about. She's on Channel 2. What's the lady on Channel 2?
Ann Holt?
Not Ann Holt. NBC, she does it.
Diane Sawyer.
No.
Was she local here?
Yeah, she worked for Channel 4, but she's the black lady now that's running everything.
Oh, Robin Roberts.
Robin Roberts did one of her first interviews with me in Nashville. I was playing Pearl Cone, and she's standing outside my dressing room waiting on me to come out. I'm playing. It wasn't Pearl Cone then, it was Pearl.
Yeah.
And she's waiting on us to come out, and she wanted to do an interview with me and with a player or two on what our success. So Robin Roberts, Hoda Kotb, Chris Fowler, those guys early on.
That's good.
That's fantastic. What do you know about Delaware tomorrow night? Because you're back in coach mode. We won't talk about you.
They're not bad. They got a little success right now. They won the last game. They beat Liberty. Liberty again was picked second, and Liberty's got great tradition. As a matter of fact, they're coming in Friday night. They're having a backup because of the ice and snow. So we'll have two games. We'll have Delaware tomorrow night, and then the next night, Friday night, we'll have Liberty. But it's like playing in a tournament. You got to play two or three games in a row in the tournament. So, again, I'll get to evaluate our players on this. But Delaware's not bad. They're very athletic. They're well-coached. And I think right now they're just coming into their own. They're just really learning how to play together. So they're a dangerous team.
Do you – I figure with the leadership on your team, and I know you got some young players, like they know what tomorrow could mean. But do you or Matt or any of your coaches have to say, hey, I don't want you thinking about that right now. Let's just go and get a win for our team?
Chase, you won't believe this, but it's never been brought up in practice or in a film session or anything.
Never. Love that.
I don't know that one thing has ever been said about the 500 win around me.
Yeah.
And my staff and my players may have talked about it behind the scenes, but around me, no. And I think they know that that's not the way we operate.
Yeah.
They know right now that what's on my mind, which what should be on their mind, is Delaware.
Yeah.
And so it's never, not that I know of now, Chris and Diane and, Andrew Ottman and Mark Owens and Jake and all of them, I don't know what's going on there. That's their business. They run that part of the show. But on this side of the show, I run.
Yeah.
And right now what's on our mind is making sure that we know what we need to do offensively and defensively.
I love it. I think the world of you. You're Chase and I are proud MTSU graduates, and then – I love what you do. I love the passion. We've known each other for years, and so I think it's great, and I hope you have 5,000 more wins.
I won't have that many. Maybe a few more, but not 5,000.
I'll tell you a quick funny story. I went to Franklin Road Academy,
okay. And
I was the manager of both the men's and the women's team, and I love both those coaches to death. Glenn Tackett was our men's coach, and Chris Hart was our ladies' coach. That you two knew each other somewhere. I can't remember what the connection was, but anyway, I'm getting ready to graduate, and they know I'm going to middle. And Coach Hart, who could be, I'll just say it, a hard ass sometimes,
yeah,
comes to me and goes, "Well, do you want to manage at middle?" And I'm like, probably not. I'm burnt out at this point. And he goes, "Well, I'll call Coach Ensel and at least get you an interview with him, but I'm going to warn you, if you think I'm a hard ass, just wait till you meet."
We probably, but, you know, back at Shelbyville, and it's the same way here now, Shelbyville, if you went to summer camp, you came to Shelbyville. We have 45, 50 teams. 1 week, 45, 50 teams. Another week. And then you didn't have play days. We started that play day type thing. Really, Columbia started, and I built off of it. But you had, you know, when you had play days over there, we'd have all kinds of jets. They're flying in from Tennessee, Penn State, Florida, Maryland, Auburn, Georgia, to see some of the best players in the state of Tennessee would be playing in those play days. Since we've moved over here now, the biggest camp in the South, team camp, is Middle Tennessee.
Yeah.
We'll have over 400 teams in here.
Good Lord.
in a 10-day period.
Wow. Wow. I won't bring up the time you chewed my ass at a press conference. I'll save that.
Well, Joe, here's what you said.
You probably deserved it.
I did.
Joe said, what?
You're playing Maryland.
Yeah, we're playing Maryland. They just won the national championship, and he said, "What is your plan along these lines when you get down 40?
Yeah. What do you hope your guys learn when you lose?
And I looked at him and I said,
"Whew!" Took his glasses off.
I said, I don't plan on getting down 40. Matter of fact, I plan on winning the game. Well, with 5 minutes to go, 4 minutes to go, maybe four something, we're up 5.
Oh, nice.
And then we got a chance. But then Christy Tolliver, which is one of the best players in the world, still, if she was playing, she's going to be a coach somewhere now in the WNBA. She took over, and she had about like 5 or 6 threes in a row, and we ended up losing the game. And then we go up there the following year, Joe, and we got beat on a call at the buzzer.
That's right.
Where we laid it up, and they called a charge. And the kid that supposedly took the charge, which hadn't took a charge her whole life because she played high school for me, Ashley Newman, was playing for Maryland, come through and undercut my player, and they run out of there and called it a charge, and we lost the game by one. So I never have forgiven Ashley for that.
But you were gracious. You said you're being nice to me. You're like, I wanted my team to hear that question, and I wanted them to hear my answer.
Yeah,
I wanted them to know I believed in them, and I needed that question. And I was like, well, I'll just take me and my my chafed butt, and we'll go back to Nashville. It was a moment, so thank you for that. Coach.
You've been one of the best, Joe.
Thank you,
Coach. I've known you since you've been in the business, and, you know, you've been one of the best.
Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Well, you're one of the best, Coach. We appreciate this.
Well, thank you. Thank
good
you.
Luck tomorrow night.
We'll take it. We'll take luck. Yeah. I'll tell you.
We're cheering right. for you. We'd love to talk to you again once we get past that 500 mark.
So we'll do it. Thank you, guys.
Coach Rick Ensel joining us here on the program. More coming from the Boulevard, 102.5 The Game.